Good morning, Alden. Good to see you. For those of you looking for Hal, look elsewhere. He is not here. If you came to see Hal, I'm really sorry. You're stuck with me for the next 30, 45 minutes. I am a football fan. I do understand that playoffs are ongoing today, so we will be done in time to go see the 1 o'clock game. But my name is Richard Bennett, if you don't know me. I've been coming here for a little while. I am, again, this is not Hal Hester. Hal does not have a beard, so the microphone does not get eaten in his face. So, Danielle, I've told Danielle that, like, I've tried to place it correctly, and it worked, and then I moved it. So just flail around, really, like, do this if it's, like, not working, and I know it's my fault that I moved it again. So, but I hope you guys had a good Christmas. Happy New Year. All the things like that. We had a very good Christmas. I have four kids that start at the age of, he'll be two, February 12th. His name is Rhett. My next one is four. Then after that, we jump up to eight and nine. So Christmas is a big deal. Christmas morning in the Bennett house at 5 o'clock in the morning. They ran in. And we promptly told them to get out of our room, leave us alone, don't come in until 6 at the earliest. And so they were gracious, and they came in at 6:01. So we started Christmas morning at 6:01, and then we all took naps in the afternoon, some of us, and we forced them to. New Year's, I'm not a big New Year's guy. It's another day that I can go to sleep early, if possible. Except last year I made the problem of betting my daughter, that my 9-year-old daughter, that she could not stay up. And I've forgotten the process of saying this, that my daughter is one of those that if you tell her she can't do it, she's going to do it. So what was on the line with this was that I had to clean her room if she stayed up. If she didn't stay up, she had to clean my room. So at 11 o'clock, I was snoring, and by 12:30, she was going strong. And so I spent the next day cleaning her room and realizing that I will never bet her anything like that again. And this New Year's Eve, we went to a party that ended at 9 o'clock, and it was great, and we were all asleep by 10. And it was wonderful, and we woke up, and I guess the ball dropped, and it was 2018, and we went on like normal. So you may be wondering what this term, what we say saddle up means, and you're wondering if I've ever ridden a horse. I've ridden a horse twice. Once when my wife and I were in Colorado, and we rode through the mountains, it was beautiful, and then we rode on a horse in Alabama. Something like that. So I don't know anything about saddling donkeys. I don't know anything about riding them. So we'll get to what the rest of that saddle up means at the end. But Hal asked me to speak sometime around Thanksgiving. And, of course, my response was, yeah, I'll do that. And I called my wife and I said, hey, Hal asked me to speak. And she said, awesome, what are you going to speak on? And I said, I don't know. And then a few weeks later, she said, hey, what are you going to speak on? And I said, I don't know. And so normally at this point, I used to be a youth pastor, and I would speak, and I would give weekly message like Hal does here, and I would do series, and I've found out that since I've stopped doing that, and I'll get asked to speak different places, like speaking on a one-off is a little more difficult than doing like an entire series. You can like plan the whole thing out. Like, I know what I'm speaking for the next 5 weeks, and this one-week thing is really hard for me sometimes. And so normally at this point, I ask my wife, what should I speak about? And every time I ask my wife this, she gives me the exact same response, no matter how long it's been. And so I forego this time. I said, you know what? I've learned from my past mistakes of asking my wife what to speak on. I'm just going to tell her what I'm going to speak on now. And so she said, what are you going to speak on? And I said, I'm going to speak on what God has been teaching me. And she said, good job. Because every time I ask her, what should I speak about? She said, well, what is God teaching you? And so I said, we'll skip all that, and we'll get to what God's been teaching me. And so what I want to do today, I'm going to tell you what God taught me last year. And maybe it will speak to some of you. Maybe some of this could be a waste of your time. I apologize for that. But this is what God's been putting on my heart, what I learned, what I need to be doing this year. I'm not, like Brian said, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy. I don't really care. Most of you, like you said, you forgot it by now, or you'll stop doing it next month. But what I want to do this year. And so just a few of the other things we can go through that I learned this year is that even in a down year, Florida State can still beat Florida. That Florida does sometimes participate in colder weather, which I appreciate and love. I love when it gets cold. Another thing is that once every 8 years, it's okay if Miami beats Florida State. Once every 8 years, and any more than that would be a problem. That my 4-year-old son will be beating me in golf rather quickly, and I'm not as good of a golfer as I thought I was. And the Bucks are still the Bucks. So, but on a serious note, I was reminded of things this year, and I was reminded of that God is good. And I feel, and I say that in a way to say that I feel like sometimes we throw out these accolades of, he's amazing, this guy's the best at this, and we throw out these huge words, and I feel like these big words sometimes they lose meaning to me. And I love the phrase of saying, God is good. Because to me, that encapsulates everything. He's never forgotten me. He's always been there. God is good. His timing is perfect. And that's not one I like being reminded of. Because in my mind, my timing is perfect. I know when things need to happen. And then they don't. And then 5 months later, well, that should have happened 5 months ago. You really missed a spot on this one, big guy. And it's perfect. And I heard this, and it says, God speaks in a small, in a still, quiet, still small voice because he's close. And the biggest thing, and where we're going to spend the time, that this is my biggest thing that I learned that I'm doing different this year. That as a believer, I am called to be generous with my time, with my possessions, and with my money. We can go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is the NIV, and as Hal says, our favorite version is whatever is in your lap. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Because to me, this goes back to the formation of the church, the early church, when they had everything together. It wasn't all this, the politics, and it wasn't all this stuff. It was just like, this is natural church. And I've talked about this for a long time with my wife, with some friends, and I get on, and I start complaining. I'm like, why aren't we doing this? Why isn't the American church this right here? I said, I feel like a lot of times that we miss this, and we go through it, and I fall, and I kind of fell out of love with what Hal would call his churchianity. And it drives me crazy, because I'm like, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. This whole thing of church and coming here on Sunday morning and doing a Wednesday night if we're happy about it, and maybe serving and helping one day a year. Like, that's not what Jesus came for. Like, that's not it. We're missing the boat on this, because the American church and a lot of these things in general, we're happy with getting a pat on the back and coming on Sunday mornings. And then just, it would drive me crazy, and I would get upset about it. And I'm like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we taking care of each other? I look at all the stuff, and I said, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed together had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to any as had need. And I keep asking this question, like, why? Why aren't we doing this? And I felt like I got an answer from God saying, why aren't you doing it? I said, that's a good question. You see, I've struggled my entire life with giving. I like when people give me stuff. Don't get me wrong, Christmas morning I was excited. I got some presents. I'm wearing one underneath. I got a new shirt from my wife, and it's underneath here, and I'm wearing it because it's new, and I like gifts. But I'm not the best at giving them. I'm not good at it, and I've realized that. And the biggest thing I've been really bad at is my money. Very bad at giving money. Now, for the purposes of today, when we talk about money, I'm just talking about a general 10%. I'm going to say a little bit this word tithing. I'm not here to debate with you, to teach you, to argue with you what a tithe is. If it is 10%, if it is 15%, if it is 20%, if it is before taxes, if it is after taxes, if you're supposed to give it here, if you're supposed to give it there. I'm just talking about giving money. Are we good? Because I've talked about money, like, well, a tithe is this. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm just talking for the principal purposes of giving. And I didn't give necessarily because I didn't want to. A lot of times I just frankly forgot. And I would get through and I'd be like, oh, no, another paycheck down, another one bites the dust. Sorry, I'll hit you on the next one. And the problem was that if I did remember, I remembered at the end of the paycheck. I mean, because in America we have this thing we like to call living paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of us do that. Some of us do it really well. Some of us do it better than others. But the thing is that I would get to the end of the paycheck and I'm like, hey, we were going to tithe this week. And have you ever been there, like when you pay the bills and you go through and you're like, I think there's money there, but I don't want to look in case there's not. And I'd be like, my wife's like, what is there? I'm like, yeah. And so I'd go look and I'd be like, ah, man. Got to have that to eat tomorrow, so I'm sorry. We're not going to do that this week. And then I would ignore it. And giving money and things like that, for me, it really became a burden. And I wasn't interested in it. When people would talk about it, I'd be like, yeah, great idea if you can do it. And so I was going through podcasts. I'm a big podcast guy. I drive I have a job where I drive every day of the week. I'm on the road Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Tampa, Zephyr Hills, all around this area. So I have a lot of windshield time. And I can listen to anything I want to. I listen to sports talk radio. As you can tell, I like sports and I enjoy them. So I listen to sports talk radio. And I've been like, you know, I shouldn't do that. I need to be listening to something that will actually teach me something and not instead of just take away stupid stuff from my brain. And so I started listening to podcasts, and I stumbled upon his name is Craig Rochelle. He's the pastor of Life Church out in Oklahoma. They did the Bible app, and they give the Bible app away and all this stuff. And they have a sermon series called This Is What We Do. And I'm like, you know what? I want to know what they do because they seem like they're doing pretty good. I'm always interested in hearing from people who are successful. Businesses or people and everything. What do they do that I don't do to where I can do these things better? And so I clicked on it and says, this is what we do. And you know what they do? They give. And I'm like, great. Wonderful. And I kept listening to it. I've never heard someone in my life so excited at the fact that they get to give. I mean, it was infectious. I was like, told my wife, I said, babe, we're giving. Like, this is it. Like, I've listened to it. Like, this, it makes sense in my mind. And what he said, as a believer in Jesus, it's what we do. We're generous. We're called to be a generous people. God has given us things to be generous with. And I never thought about that as a believer, like, I do all these things. Like, I know I'm supposed to love people. I know I'm supposed to worship. I'm supposed to do these things. The one thing I forgot, as a believer, it's just what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give. There's no way around that. There's no loophole. I know sometimes we'll look in 2 Corinthians, we'll be like, well, God loves a cheerful giver, but I'm not cheerful today. Huh. All right. So, but the thing is, like, it's what you're supposed to do. It's what I'm supposed to do. And so I did fairly well for a few weeks. And then I was on this whole thing and I was going through, what am I learning? I'm like, well, I need to speak about what I'm learning, that I need to be generous. I need to give. And last week, Katie, my wife, said, hey, did you transfer the money? Did you tithe this week? And I was like, No. No. I didn't. And I didn't because I was nervous. Because I had been living a life of transferring at the end, of tithing at the end. And here's the thing. It doesn't take faith to give what you have left. It takes faith to give in the beginning. Why am I trusting myself to do this when I should be trusting God? Because here's the thing. God will do more with 90% than you will do with 100%. I'd never heard it put that way until he said that. God will do more with 90% than I will do with 100%. One of the things they say is we will lead the way with irrational generosity. It doesn't make sense. Giving my money away to people, it doesn't make sense because I'm the one who works for it. I'm the one who wakes up, leaves my family, and goes to do my job. It's mine. I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who earned it. Why do I need to give it to people? And you can get, we're in church. I don't know. Give your money to people who need it. Give your money to the church. I mean, if God's calling you to, I'm not saying today that we need that before you leave this door to drop money in the box that's conveniently located at the doors. I'm saying you need to be generous. I need to be generous. I've got to get over the fact that that sometimes I get nervous about this. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to take you back to college, Richard, a long time ago. And I was sitting in Eden Baptist Church out there in the woods. I was in a college class being taught by Ken Pritz. And he went to Genesis chapter 22. And we're these cool college kids. And we're like, why are we going to the Old Testament? There's nothing in the Old Testament. We're the New Testament people. And he told us to be quiet. And he read, and he said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. So first off, my reaction to that is sometimes if God would say, Richard. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily respond with, here I am, ready to do what you want me to do. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. That's irrational. If we're just honest, that's kind of crazy. What did Abraham do? Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood from the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. So, but here's the thing. Abraham listened to God. He did what God told him to do. And this is what Mr. Pritz told us. If we can go back to verse, 3. How many of you guys like to wake up early? 10%. All right. I would like to sleep in too, but I like to wake up early because I like to go to bed early. I don't want to be up late night. I like to go to sleep and wake up early. Abraham got up early. I don't know what early was. Early could have been 3 or 4 o'clock. They had a really long hike. So Abraham got up early. You know what he did next? He saddled his donkey. And this is a phrase that 15 years or however long ago later, no, it wasn't 15 because that puts me at 18. Let's go with 13. 33 for those of you who are trying to do the quick math. So that long ago is stuck with me. Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He was intentional. God told him to do something. He did the work that he had to do in order to do what God called him to do. So maybe for you, this isn't about giving money. Maybe for you, God has called you to do something else. over this last year, I look back and I'll get my year-end statements and I'll look at how much I've given and I'll be like, that was a waste of a year, just like the year prior. I'm going to do better this year. But what has God called you to do this year? Looking back over last year and seeing what God taught you, the things that you went through, what do you need to do? Because you have to be intentional about this. Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. That's intentional. That was something that he planned to do. God said, you need to go do this for me. And he said, okay, I'm going to go. And he got up and he got ready and he did it. Because I can look back and see the time that I've wasted because I'm just, something else has come up and I'm busy and I've got to go and I don't know what to do. 12 years later, saddle your donkey. I don't know what you got to do, but saddle your donkey. It's funny and it made me laugh and we all laughed at him. But 12 years later, I remember that I've got to get up and saddle my donkey because I have to be intentional about life. We can't just wake up in the morning and expect, from in my situation, I can't wake up on Friday morning and expect the money just to go by itself. It's not going to. It's going to sit in my bank account until I do something with it. Maybe for you, it's that person you need to go talk to, that you need to minister to. You got to get up in the morning and go over to their house or something. You've got to do something. We I feel like so often we know what God has called us to do. We go through these studies. We do these week-long studies. I did a 10-week study this year of what has God called me to do? What is God's calling for my life in this whole thing? You know what? I can know what God's calling is, and I went through the study. It was great. But if I don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. You have to do something. We have to do something. We can't let another year go by and just be the same people. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15, says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Making the best use of the time. The band can come on up. We're going to do this. I'm not good at closing things. So the prayer people right there. Band people back there. So how's better at that? So there we go. Getting her done. But I so often I wait for things to happen. You can look in Colossians, you can stay here in Ephesians. We're reminded to make the best use of the time. What do you need to do this year? I guess is the question. What I've got to do. I know one thing God has called me to do this year, and I have to be intentional about that. So I guess the question, we got prayer people, and if you'd like to come up and pray with them, I want you to think, maybe you don't know the answer right now. Maybe you got to think. It took me some time to think about this. What has God called you to do? And what do you need to do in order to get that done? What donkey do you need to saddle in order to get this done, to get done what God has accomplished and what he needs you to accomplish? That's the question. What do we need to do? Because the years are going by. I mean, not to be morbid and things like that, but I mean, how many years do we have left? I mean, I've gone to more funerals this year than I really wanted to. And that's not to say that's a scary thing. That's just being real. That's just reality. Time is going on. I've heard Francis Chan say that the years go by faster. Every year you live, it goes by faster. I'm 33. The year goes by at 33 miles an hour. If you're 40, the year's going to go by at 40 miles an hour. Some of you guys may be breaking the speed limit right now. But wrong time. But the thing is that you don't know how much time you have left. And what has God called you to do? What does He need you to do this year? What do you got to do to get that done? Live an intentional life this year. Don't let this year go by and look back and say, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have listened when God told me. I look back and I can remember those things that God told me to do and I didn't do. And I'm embarrassed of those. I'm not going to share them with you because it embarrasses me. Because it's so stupid. What do you need to do this year? If you know what it is, I encourage you to come up and pray that God would give you strength to get the task accomplished. If you don't know what it is, maybe you should come up and get prayer that God would reveal it to you, that you know what you need to do this year. And so, Father, I come to you humbled, just knowing that I don't have the answers, that I don't really do everything I'm supposed to do. And I pray as we look at a new year and try to kind of say it's a new beginning and a new start, that it is a new start for some of us. That we can look at this year and know what you have called us to do. We'll get up early in the morning and we'll saddle our donkey, Lord. I pray that you speak clear to us, as you always do, and that we'll hear. We won't turn our ears to what you have to say, even if we don't like it. But that we'll listen. And we'll do what the early church did, Lord, that we'll be together, we'll live a life together, we'll go out and we'll change this world and we'll do what you have called us to do. So if you need prayer, I encourage you to come up. Thanks for going on this journey with me and listening and laughing a few times. But if you need prayer, I encourage you to come up and pray. But thank you, guys.